Yeah, thank you, Lord. The verse in 2 Corinthians says the love of Christ compels us. And then the end in verse 15, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Amen. I thank you, Lord, who made us living. For what? So that we can enjoy this life? Here it says that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Yes, that we can live out the Lord to serve him as priest. That's what he gave himself for. The consecration is a complete thing. You cannot do the consecration halfway through, but that we give the Lord our whole hearts, like this flask of alabaster. This is broken. Everything flows out. And so the Lord wants to have our whole hearts and our whole lives. Everything that we are belongs to the Father, belongs to the Lord. That means to serve him as priests. It's not that on Sunday we bring an offering and we experience the Lord in one thing and then we go to our own thing. That is not the priestly service that Leviticus 8 is showing us. And what the word shows. Amen. But that we give ourselves fully for the Lord, to the Lord. Jesus, see that they were called to the door of the tabernacle to serve there. They served before the Lord, before the Father. And that also shows that's not for ourselves. The Lord is not for us personally. It's not only a personal thing that I receive the Lord in my life, but why? For what purpose did we receive the Lord? For what purpose did Moses fill the hands of the priests? Moses is a picture of the Lord, and we see that in Hebrews 3. For what purpose were our hands filled when we received the Lord? Not for our personal lives, but rather that in this picture we can serve in this tabernacle and house of God. The priests are called to build the house of God. That's their task, that's their job. And that is why Moses filled their hands with for this house. It's connected. You can go to the tabernacle, came with their hands full, and then go back to their own house and to have a good life there and to care about their own family, their own thing. But rather, they were called to serve on the tabernacle. And there's also our calling. Our callings come out. We are been called out from our own things to serve in the house of the Lord, to serve in the tabernacle of meeting, and to serve in Zion. That we really need to see the service is for the house, for the calling of the house of the Lord. It's not about receiving the Lord so that I have been a great spiritual person. When you look at history, in the past, many great spiritual people, David, for example, who was a spiritual man, was a single person, individual person. But our calling was not that we as individuals would be great. that we receive so much from the Lord, but our calling is that our hands would be filled to give ourselves as a priest in the house of the Lord to serve Him. Not that we would all be great personally in our own lives, but that we could serve the Lord as priests at the tabernacle, and there we can carry out all the tasks, all the services as priests. And one more thing that is complete and not halfway. Paul said in Corinthians 7, verse 29, the time is short. 1 Corinthians 7:29. But this I say, brethren, the time is short, so that from now on even those who have wives should be as though they had not, those who weep as though they did not weep, those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice, and so on. And those who use this world as not misusing it, for the form of this world is passing away. That was in verse 31. 1 Corinthians 7:29-31. This world is passing away. So how we should live. Everyone should move this word before the Lord. The wives, as if they had none. What does that mean in our lives? Do you want to have a career? Or to care about other things, that we earn money? Or do we accept it as the Lord has given us? Did the Lord give us much, or did He give us less? We should accept it in the way that the Lord has given it to us, but not to worry and be zealous to earn more money, to make a big career, or to care about many other things. That is not for the priests, but given to the Lord to serve Him as priests. When we do this, when we have many other things in our life and are zealous for those things, then in the end those things come into the house of the Lord. Can you imagine that, at the tabernacle, they also do their business, and the first clients are the priests. You sell your products, and then you bring your products to the tabernacle, and then you build your business and sell your products, and the priests will become your colleagues. And then you bring the world and the business of the world and your thoughts into the tabernacle. What does the Lord do with that? What does the Lord want to say? You have made it to a robber's den. And how He reacted. So when we want to serve the Lord as priests, we are separated from the world. And not to be zealous for other things in this world that we go after, that we would dirty the house of the Lord. Yeah, we saw that God is a jealous God. Amen. Yeah, and in Numbers 6, verse 8, all the days of his separation, he shall be holy to the Lord. Holy also means separated. When we consecrate ourselves to the Lord and give ourselves to the Lord, then the whole time, all the days, we will be separated. So our lives, when we consecrate our lives to the Lord, we belong to the Lord. We cannot just do what we want. You cannot just go into the tabernacle and consecrate yourself, and then you go out and do something else. And then you come back again. No, that doesn't work. Here it says, during all the days of his separation, he shall be holy to the Lord. Our whole lives belong to the Lord. The priestly service, this is a full, complete thing, matter, and this be in the outline. The preparation of the priest to be consecrated, to put on the priestly garments, to be anointed and sanctified in order to minister unto the Lord in the priestly office. Amen. And we already mentioned, when we want to serve the Lord, then we need a dealing of our natural man. And that is why we see here there's a preparation for the priest, a treatment, yeah. And these priests, we need to put on the priestly garments, and then they will be anointed. And this is the sanctification, the transformation that we need as priests. It's so important. It's described in Leviticus 8, 6-13. There it says, and Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. And he put the tunic on him, girded him with the sash, clothed him with the robe, and put the ephod on him. And he girded him with the intricately woven band of the ephod, and with it tied the ephod on him. Then he put the breastplate on him, and he put the Urim and Thummim in the breastplate. And he put the turban on his head, also on the turban, and on its front he put the golden plate, the holy crown, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was in it and consecrated them. Amen. And Moses also brought the sons. This is verse 13. As the Lord had commanded Moses. This preparation to serve him as priest. These garments, the putting on of the priestly garments shows our transformation. They need to put on the priestly garments. Why do you need to put on clothes? So that the nakedness is not revealed. No one from us likes to show their nakedness. We all have a shame that the nakedness would come out. We have such a sensitivity and shame for something from our natural man would come out. Our flesh would come out. In Exodus, it is to cover the nakedness. That they would not have shame or iniquity. It's no small thing when the priests, that the flesh comes out. That means the death. And the priests serve fleshly, and the natural man comes out in the priestly service. That means there's death, like Nadab and Abihu. That's why these garments are so precious and so important. Do we appreciate these garments? Yeah, I appreciate these garments very much because I know how much or how fallen my natural man is. And you don't want this flesh that it would be revealed. We need a fear for our flesh. And we need also a shame that the natural man would come out. How often does your natural reaction come out? And I really am ashamed because we're so fallen and our flesh is so corrupt. And that's why it's so precious that we can put on the Lord as our covering, as our garments. And we come here and we serve, even when we practically serve. Do we have the sensitivity? Lord, I want to put you on. I don't want something that out of myself, my own reaction or false motivation comes out, a hidden agenda or motive. We need fear and respect. And we also need to appreciate the Lord that we can put him on as our garments. That's why here it says to cover the nakedness, like Adam and Eve. It's the first thing that came after the fall of sin. They had a realization sense of for the nakedness. Yeah, they were ashamed for the nakedness. And then God already slaughtered an animal to cover them and clothe them. We need to appreciate this, that the shame and the flesh would not be exposed, that our fallen beings would not be exposed. That's why we have received these clothing, these garments. I thank you for these garments. Our flesh can have no room. When we go to the tabernacle and serve before the Lord, then the flesh has been crucified. That we really need to learn to put on the Lord and to give him no room. And no room for the flesh. Yeah, how fast does arguments or different things come out? So fast. It's so quick. And so we need to learn when we serve for the Lord to crucify these things, to take the Lord and put him on. He, the Lord, is our salvation. At home, in the family, I need to put on the Lord and I have to practice that. And at work, and especially when we're here together and serving our dealings with the saints. Not to be naked, not to give room to the flesh, but to put on the Lord. And the first thing that the Lord mentioned is the priestly garments. It's so important to put them on. Thank you, Lord. And in Isaiah 61, that he gave me. In verse 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful to my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. It is a joy to be clothed, covered me with the robe of righteousness, to experience the salvation. When I realize that the flesh comes, then I put on the Lord, learn to put on the Lord, to put off the old man and to put on Christ, the Lord. And it is here, it says, a joy, a salvation, a robe of righteousness, because we have no righteousness in ourselves. What does the word say? Our own righteousness is like a stained garment, dirty garment. So that's why it's a joy that we can put on the Lord. And in Romans 13, it says, how much more you put Christ on. should learn to put on Christ. Romans 13:14. Maybe you want to get upset when you're serving and something comes up. And yeah, in Romans 13:14 it says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ much more. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Amen. These clothes, these garments, on the one side, one hand, is to cover nakedness, but also it is for glory and beauty. And when you look at the priest, it's for the glory. It's an expression of glory and beauty. And it brings the glory, expresses the glory and beauty of the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? What do we appreciate? I appreciate very much when the saints express the Lord. Isn't that glorious? It is a beauty. When we realize the saints have experienced salvation, they have put on the Lord, and they have such a dealing, handling with one another. It is a glory and the beauty. There's no glory when we are expressing ourselves. This is a shame, really. Oh, Lord. The Lord really needs to save us. That we do not express ourselves, not my own opinion, but to put on the Lord. It is for glory and beauty. Because only the Lord is beautiful. Who is beautiful from us? Do we have something beautiful? No, I have no beauty. When I look at me, I really am ashamed. But thank the Lord that we can put Him on. He is beautiful and glorious. He is our glory. And we are glad when the Lord is expressed. When we all express the Lord, when we put on the priestly garments, isn't that precious? What an expression. When we all put on the Lord, an expression of salvation. Thank you, Lord. And then continuing in that they would be anointed with the holy anointing oil. And not only the priests will be anointed, but all the appliances, all the services in Exodus 30:26. You shall anoint the tabernacle. There's many different pieces in, like, for example, the altar, all these things, the utensils, the lampstand. You should sanctify them. Consecrate them, that they may be most holy. Verse 29, whatever touches them must be holy. And also verse 30, and you shall anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them, that they may minister to me as priests. The whole tabernacle is anointed with the anointing oil, so that it is holy to the Lord. And it shows that the house of the Lord belongs to Him. It does not belong to us. It is also not for us, but the tabernacle. And today, the house of the Lord, the church, it all belongs to the Lord. It has been separated for the Lord. The church is not for me or for us. That we have a good time together. That our children are supplied. Or that we have a place where we can spend time together. No, it is all anointed for the Lord. It serves to the glory of the Lord, of God. Everything belongs to Him. Even us, even the priests belong to the Lord. Everything in the church belongs to the Lord, and they are for Him, for the service to Him, and His to bring, to express His glory and honor. And that really needs to be conscious. It's not for us. It's not about that we can do here what we want. But it's about that everything is for the Lord. Earlier in the church sometime, it was no longer for God, but it was for the people. That people had a good time, that the children were taken care of, and many things. But that is not what the tabernacle is made for. That's not what the house of the Lord is for. It's for God. And it is consecrated and separated for Him. That also needs to be our inward attitude, that we're not serving ourselves, doing our own things, but we are here to serve God. Amen. We cannot do what we want here. And then, yeah, that is the anointing oil. And there's much to say, but it's not about to go in the details, but the whole picture of the consecration, to see it. And the anointing is a picture of the Spirit that we have received to serve the Lord. And then it continues in the process of the consecration. And the first thing that comes is the bowl for the sin offering. Do you have the bowl before your eyes? How big a bowl is? Yesterday I looked at a picture of a bowl. If you take such a stand before a bowl of that size, you have a lot of respect. Such a great muscular thing. When you look at a bull and you stand, there's like a mountain of muscles, really a lot of strength. This is a strong animal. And this bull was brought as a sin offering to deal with their sinful nature, to take away our sin. And it's an important thing when we serve the Lord. Especially as priests, our sinful nature, our fallen nature needs a deep dealing, treatment. That otherwise we are disqualified to serve. So as priests, we need the experience of the sin offering, that the sin would be treated, dealt with. That's why the Lord came as this wonderful sin offering. He came in flesh and in the form of flesh and condemned sin in the flesh. And we need the treatment, the dealing of the sin in us. Do not be so loose with sin. It disqualifies us to serve the Lord as priests. But the Lord has come to rule over the sin. The sin is under our feet. Have we experienced that? I thank the Lord that in many things He gave me experiences where the sin does not rule anymore. And that is why we need this bowl. The bowl of the sin offering. A strong dealing with our sinful nature. Or with our sin. And this experience, we need that the Lord frees us from the reign of sin. We praise the Lord. In Romans 8, we read the verse, Romans 8, verse 2. There it says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Amen. We really need this experience. The Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death, so that sin no longer reigns in us. And then there's this also in total 2 rams that are brought, and the first ram is the burnt offering. And the burnt offering, I don't want to go too near to this or too deep, but it's not about our own will. When we want to serve the Lord, then our will we submit our will. The question is, what does the Lord want? Our life is not what do we want, but what does the Lord want? That shows a burnt offering. The Lord has come to do the will of the Father. If we go into the tabernacle and we consecrate ourselves, in that moment, the question is no longer, what do I want, but what does the Lord want? What does the Lord want me to do? What is the thing of the... What does the Lord want? Not your own will. But we ask the will of the Lord. That's why we need this burnt offering. That's why we need a ram. That's why the ram is brought, that we can serve and do the will of the Father. Then there's a second ram. The second ram would be slaughtered, and the blood would be taken, and some of the blood will be put on the ear, the thumb, and the big toe of the priest. Yeah, the blood will be applied to the tip of Aaron's right ear, the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. I don't want to go into detail, but it shows one more time, again, that our whole lives belong to the Lord, to hear the Lord, to do the will of the Lord. For priests, that is really a deciding factor. How can you serve the Lord without hearing Him? What do you do there when you don't hear the Lord? The Lord needs to show us what we should do. Many things we need to constantly ask the Lord, especially when we serve here. Sometimes not so easy. Should I do this? Should I do that? You need to ask the Lord. You need an ear to hear the Lord. At home, you don't do things for yourself. You serve the Lord. And that's why we all need an ear to hear the Lord and to ask, Lord, what do you want? How do you want to have it? And here we see the blood. All the priests have this blood on the right to hear the Lord, because they need to hear the Lord. And also on the right hand. Of course, and also naturally the hands show our deeds, what we do, that it is consecrated to the Lord. And then the big toe that shows our walk. Our walk is also important for the Lord, that it's holy to the Lord. We cannot do what we want when we serve the Lord as priests. And Romans 6, verse 4 says, we are buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Amen. That shows when we serve the Lord as priests, our walk is very important. Earlier we've done many things. You can do many things, but not when you serve the Lord as priests. When you serve the Lord as priest, you need to walk in the newness of life. Learn to walk where the Lord also walks, and also how to walk as He walks. The Lord said He has sanctified Himself for the will, for the sake of the others. He could have done many things, but He did not do also many things. And we need to learn through this to walk by the Spirit through the Lord in the newness, to walk in the newness of life. Amen. not to walk according to the flesh, but rather to the Spirit. Romans 8, verse 4. Not according to flesh, but according to the Spirit. And in Galatians it says, walk in the Spirit. It's so important that we walk in the Spirit. As priests, you cannot just go anywhere. You are bound to the tabernacle. You are bound at the house of the Lord. Of course, we can say we can do many things. We have a certain freedom. But not when you serve the Lord as priests. Then you cannot just walk where you want to. Then you are bound to the tabernacle. You are bound for the Lord. And where you go needs to be for this Lord, for the Spirit. You cannot just do anything. Maybe in your natural man you have many ideas what you can still do. You could still do where you could go and spend time. But the priest, the big toe, his right foot, the blood was sprinkled, and you can only do a go where the Lord leads. And when you are in the priestly service, you're not free to just go anywhere and to do everything. And maybe they're not even sinful. The rest of the people, people of Israel could just walk around and go wherever they want. But the priests have this spot on their toe, their foot. Need to learn to walk according to the Spirit. It is really important exercise that the Lord leads us through the Spirit where we should go. Learn to be a man who walks according to the Spirit. Then this ram, the second ram, supplied also the breasts. That part was for Moses. And the breast is for love. The wave breast. And Moses led the people. Such a great he was the most humble man on this earth. And that fits on the earth for us to experience someone who leads the people, instructs the people, but is the most humble person on the earth. And it shows it is not about authority. But Moses was the example. He ate this breast and was an example for all the people. And that's what we also need to learn. To eat the Lord. To be examples of the Lord. And this unleavened bread that we eat, this unleavened bread is so important. But that we eat the Lord. When we stop eating the Lord, then we have lost. When we stop to eat the Lord as this unleavened bread, then it is past, then it is gone. When we only have the knowledge and don't have the experience to eat the Lord as an unleavened bread and experience Him as our salvation, and it's not good that we need to eat the Lord until the end to keep the feast of the unleavened bread and to experience salvation. And that's why it says this basket of unleavened bread for the priest. And in Leviticus, to eat the bread that is in the basket. We really need to eat the Lord. It gives us salvation. That is an important part for the priests. The food cleanses us and gives us growth. It also gives us the strength to live. That was in Leviticus 8:31. That was said. And they remain for 1 hour in the tabernacle, and then they go back to their house. Where does it say that? Where is it written? It's 7 days long. They need to stay at the door of the tabernacle, meaning for 7 days. They must get used to staying in the tabernacle. It is their home. It is their home, that it says on the outline. Praise the Lord for that. That is really wonderful, right? And in verse 33, and you shall not go outside the door of the tabernacle of meeting for 7 days, until the days of your consecration are ended. For 7 days he shall consecrate you. And then there's 35. The 7 days stay at the door of the tabernacle meeting day and night for 7 days, and keep the charge of the Lord, so that you may not die. For so I have been commanded. Amen. Thank the Lord. 7 days. And we all know seven means for completion. 7 days means always, always. One time consecrated, you are always consecrated. And one time you go in and you are forever there. What are we? We're priests. And where do you see a priest? 1 day there, 1 week there, and 2 weeks not there anymore. Then are you still sanctified? 7 days it shall not go out. Always. When you look for a priest, where do you need to look? You go to the tabernacle. And what is he busy with, occupied with? With the appliances, the things in the tabernacle. There he is, and there is where he is busy. To whom are you consecrated? Who do you belong to, and what do you do? The priests are not allowed to go out or live their own lives. Our own lives have ended. We belong to the Lord. That we would be occupied with the things of the Lord, our thoughts, what we care about. It may not go out. Not sometimes here and sometimes there. And on the side, be busy with many other things. But we are consecrated to the Lord until the end, forever. That's why we also cannot give up. The Lord is coming soon. And today, when we consecrate ourselves, when we are consecrated to the Lord, do not give up, but remain there until the end, forever. And do not turn back. Yeah, remain till the end. Lord Jesus, and this consecration is also a covenant with Levi. That means when the Lord consecrated us, when we have given us to ourselves to the Lord, and as priests, it is also a covenant that the Lord made with us. It's a wonderful covenant that he will do until the end with us. He will bring us to perfection, that he will work out, make this transformation through the consecration of the priests. Like we heard in the meeting before, the Lord is the one who sanctifies us. Thank the Lord for this wonderful covenant. We cannot be one who is consecrated and then love the world again. Like Demas. With Paulus, he was consecrated. And then Paul writes later, Demas left because he loved the world. This is really a warning for us that we do not love this world, that we do not go back, but we remain in the consecration and serve the Lord as priests.